All right, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. What a good crowd it is. What a wonderful song. Aren't you glad he didn't simply walk away? Man, I'm glad that he didn't walk away. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I'm saved. Somebody say amen. And I'm not half saved. Half baked, but not half saved. Amen. I do not know why you guys have not got rid of him all these years. 1 Samuel chapter 22, we're going to do part two from this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about your voting this evening. I do want to say on behalf of Pastor's family, thank you for the last 4.5 years for your prayers, your show of support, your love. You know, Pacific Baptist Church for the last 4.5 years, the truth of the matter is you've been in a Adullam cave. You have been experiencing a very unique situation. I tell people all the time, how do you explain what Pacific Baptist Church has had to go through the last 4.5 years? But can I say you've went through it faithfully, with love for your Lord, for Pastor Joe and his family, and thank you for that. 1 Samuel chapter 22, let's all stand, if you're able to. 1 Samuel chapter 22, I'll read out loud, you read along with me silently. And thank you for, I'm going to thank Pastor Myers. Of course, he's not here. Do pray for his health. We're thankful for him, and we'll say a couple things about him in just a few moments. But for the opportunity to preach, so I guess I'll thank you for letting me preach tonight. Thank you for letting me preach tonight, even though I'm only half saved. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, David therefore departed thence. Of course, as we mentioned this morning, he's running from Saul. He's going to spend, we were told by commentators, he's going to spend about 10 years in the wilderness and fleeing from the king. And he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all of his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So much could be said about each of these verses, but time will not permit. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And of course, this morning we talked about when you're in distress, your discouragement, things aren't going the way you thought it would go, what you want to do is gather yourself around the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen. David is a type of the Lord Jesus. And it says he became captain unto them. And we're reminded of Colossians chapter 1, 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, in the Khmer Bible, that's interpreted, translated, that he might be the captain. That he might be the captain. How do you know? You said right. That he might be the captain. By the way, Jesus is the captain of our souls. Somebody say amen. And so when you're going through distress, you're going through discouragement, you want to gather around the Lord Jesus, but just don't gather around the Lord Jesus. What you want to do is make him Lord. Well, he's Lord, but acknowledge him as Lord and say, Lord, you're the captain of my life. You're taking this ship somewhere. I may not like where you're taking it. I may not feel comfortable about where you're taking it, but you're the captain, okay? By the way, Jesus doesn't need a co-pilot. Somebody say amen, okay? Sometimes you see the bumper sticker, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot or I'm his co-pilot. No, he wants us all the way in the back seat, amen? With duct tape on, amen. Became captain over them, and there was with him about 400 men. And of course, these men eventually, many of these men become what we know as David's mighty men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king, I pray thee, come forth and be with you. I pray thee, let my father, my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And I mentioned this morning, sometimes in Christian life, there's uncertainty and you don't know exactly what God's going to do. But trust me, God's going to do something. He's going to do something good. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while. And David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad, and God uses the prophet Gad here, said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land. By the way, it's not the message tonight. The cave of Adullam was a place where, you know, they're running, they're fearful. You know, we can't hang out in the caves of our fear. You understand that? We just have to be willing to get out, and go and get the job done. And that's not the message, but it would definitely make good preaching. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hareth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your love, goodness. What a good crowd tonight. Great singing this evening. Wonderful fellowship. It's such a blessing to see so many familiar faces who've been here for years. I'm looking around and scanning the auditorium and seeing some folks who used to be under the tarp. And they've been here for many, many years. And then it's also good, Lord, to see a whole lot of people. I don't know who they are. And that just means we're reaching more people, and people are getting saved, and people are getting assimilated into the body here. And we're grateful for that. We do pray, Father, for the meeting to follow. We pray, Lord, for Pastor Myers and his health. And, of course, we pray for Pastor Joe and his health and, of course, his family, especially Miss Mary, as she bears the brunt of just his illness. We pray for them. I pray, that, Lord, that you would have your will and your way in these few moments that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, if you've been saved for any length of time, you're familiar with David's mighty men. These were men that God used in a mighty way. They were men who overcame unbelievable obstacles. They were men who did great exploits. They were men who experienced great victories. They were men that God used to usher in a new kingdom under the banner of a new king. And they were men who were men just like you and me. They were human just like us. They experienced fears just like us. We could go to, I mentioned this a little bit this morning, we could go to 1 Samuel 17, and their knees were knocking. They were afraid of Goliath. And even after they gathered around David in 1 Samuel chapter 23, you'll see them still fearful of opposition and the obstacles ahead of them. They were men just like us, but God used them in a mighty way, and we know them as David's mighty men. And I say, oh, Lord, do it again. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yet in the early beginnings of what we refer to as David's mighty men, we see them in this cave, and we talked a little bit about it this morning. And it's a reminder that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think if we gather ourselves unto him, if we'll surrender to his purpose and be consumed with his glory and refuse to hang around in the cave of our fear. And like I mentioned this morning, you look out, Brother Ross just mentioned a moment ago, you had 900 people here. The place was packed this morning. I mean, there was one or two empty seats around, but that is just, that's not normal, okay? It was a good crowd this morning. No big day, nothing special. There was no goldfish. I don't think there was. It just a really good crowd. And the school is doing well, and the college is doing well. And those of us who've been around for a long time, we remember. We remember the old days. By the way, those were good days, and we thank God for them. But man, I'm telling you, God has been very good. Somebody say amen. And God wants to continue to do that. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we mentioned this morning the importance of gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, we're going to flip the coin, and we're going to look at a more practical, very relevant aspect of it, and that's gathering around your future pastor. Tonight, in about 25, 30 minutes, the inevitable, what we have known was inevitable for the last 4.5 years, is going to take place. You're going to vote in a new pastor, a Pacific Baptist Church. And for those of us who've been around for a long time, that's sobering for the family. By the way, the family's all for it, but it's an emotional night for them. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a couple moments and just encourage you about the future. Tonight, you'll be voting on a man who has courageously and sacrificially led the church during unbelievable and an unbearable trial. what some people would call a crisis. For the last 4.5 years, by the way, I was on staff with Brother Myers, Pastor Myers. I was on staff with him for 18 years. And I respected him when I was on staff, but my respect level for Pastor Myers has shot through the roof the last 4.5 years. Huge. I'll never forget the day, I think it was the day after, or maybe the day Pastor was hospitalized, maybe the first full day afterwards, I forget what it was. Pastor Myers called me in the office and said, man, I need to talk to you. And he said, I think I need to pick your brain. I said, there ain't much to pick, amen? I need to talk to you. I mean, needless to say, the burden was heavy. And I remember the two of us, we sat in his office. I'm going to say at least 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. And we talked, and he asked me certain things, and I shared some things, and we just talked about the future, about what was, barring a Red Sea miracle, was inevitable. And man, the last 4.5 years, he's just done a really good job. Done a really good job. And tonight, I fully expect that he's going to be voted in as pastor. And I expect he's going to continue to do a good job. Somebody say amen. Amen. In my opinion, Pacific Baptist Church, I mentioned it this morning. I think I've mentioned it a few times in the last year or so, is healthier today than it was 5 years ago. Now, I mentioned to my wife on the way here, you know how we talk to our wives on the way, amen? I said, now, if I was here day in and day out, I might not say that, amen? Because you see the problems. But I'm just going to tell you, in my opinion, from what I've seen the last year, Pacific Baptist Church is healthier than it has been in the last 5 years. Now, there's three primary reasons for that, I believe. Number one, God's still on his throne. Somebody say amen. When Pastor was hospitalized, God didn't leave the throne. Now, we may have felt very uncertain. We may have been all shook up. And we may have thought the world was coming to end. But Pastor said, I've got this one. God has been on the throne for the last 4.5 years. And so when we look at what God is doing and what God wants to continue to do and will do, if we'll allow him, we want to remember it's all God. By the way, it never was Pastor Joe. It's not Pastor Myers. It's not you. It's not me. It's all God. Somebody say amen. And we always want to remember that. So as we look at what God's been doing and we see that, I looked at the numbers. When I realized that I was going to be here the night that you were going to be voting in Pastor Myers, and I said, okay, well, we have to have an appropriate message here. And I asked Brother Ross, he said, is there anything I can give you? I said, man, just give me your numbers for the last 5-6 years. What have you been running in Sunday school? What your church attendance, your Thursday night attendance, your offerings? And I'm just going to say, things have been going very well. Somebody say amen. But number one is because God's on the throne. God never fell off the throne. God doesn't fall off the throne. It doesn't matter what happens in our lives. God doesn't fall off the throne. And by the way, just a little side note here. Whatever you're going through, God's still on the throne. And so we want to remember that. Number two, there's another reason I think Pacific Baptist is healthier today than it was 5 years ago. And that's because Pastor Joe allowed God to use him. And by the way, not only Pastor Joe, Miss Mary, okay? We always often say behind every great man is a great woman, and most of the time the woman's pushing him. Amen. Pastor Joe allowed God to use him for 25 years to lay a solid foundation. Let me tell you one of the greatest signs that Pastor Joe did a good job. The crowd here tonight. The fact that Pastor Myers for the last 4.5 years has been able to keep this thing rolling and actually seeing it go further. We can look back. See, the truth of the matter is a lot of times when a man pastors a church and he leaves, he takes another church or whatever the case may be, but he leaves, a lot of times church falls apart. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that's true. But you know what? You guys haven't missed a beat. Somebody say amen. And a part of that, number one, God's on throne, but number two, Pastor Joe did a really good job in developing staff. He did a really good job in developing a culture in this church and laying a foundation that when the crisis came, you didn't miss a beat. And so when we think about that, the health of the church, we first of all, we give all the glory and all the honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. God's still on the throne. But second of all, we recognize, hey, you know, God used Pastor and God used his wife, God used his family, and as well as the staff, including Pastor Myers and Miss Alma, who were here from day one, used them to lay a great foundation. But there's a third reason. I believe that Pacific Baptist is healthier today than it was 5 years ago, and that's because Pastor Myers has taken the baton, and he's run with it faithfully. He's just done a good job. Thank God for it. I mean, I got a slew of grandchildren in this church. I have no idea how many grandchildren. I just called one of them Tanya. I'm a little tired today. I called Brother Ross Joseph. But anyway, you know, but here's the thing. You know, I want my children, I want my grandchildren to be a part of a church as a healthy church. By the way, and so do you. And so I'm thankful that Pastor Myers has been able to, of course, with the staff, he hadn't done it himself. God's on the throne. God's doing it. Pastor Joe laid a foundation. But Brother Myers has allowed God to use him to build faithfully on it. Now, quickly, we don't have a lot of time. I'm going to give you a few thoughts. Just what to do from here on in. Okay, so just a couple things. You may want to write them down. Number one, thank God for your wonderful past. Never forget your past. Thank God for it. Those of you, I'm looking in just about every section. There's old Cambodian Baptist people. And thank God for staying faithful. And thank God. I mean, we went through some trials. Remember the old petition? Yeah. But anyway, we went through some trials. But you know, you've stayed. You've hung in there for Jesus. And what you want to do is you want to thank God for your past. It's been a wonderful past. It's been a wonderful ride. God has been very good. Many of you were saved in this church, and you were baptized in this church, and you grew in this church. Some of you were already saved, like a Brother Ross. You were already saved, but came here. But Brother Ross was a skater. I think a skater still is a little bit, but he was a skater. Wasn't living for God, but he came in this church, and God used this church to help him to grow. I'm not talking about this way, though. He's doing that too. But God helped him to grow. And so some of you were saved in this church. You were baptized in this church. Many of you grew up in this church. My children grew up in this church. Many of you, your children grew up in this church. Some of you were saved in other churches, but you came here and you grew. Leah Burton today, she just said, thank God for this church. Thank God for this church. She came 19 years ago, Leah. She was 3 years old when she came. But anyway, 19 years ago, thank God for this church. Tonight we can have you come up here and you could give testimonies. By the way, a lot of you have gray hair. Man, I told my wife today, I said, there's a lot of people with gray hair. I don't have any hair, period. But anyway, a lot of you have gray hair. How you doing, Albert? But anyway, good to see you. It is what it is. But thank God for your wonderful past. Number two. Very important. Don't live in the past. You can't live in the past. Thank God for your wonderful past, but don't live in the past. Continue to build on the foundation that was laid. Years ago, my wife and I were, I think I was on deputation at the time. I'm pretty sure I was. We were traveling up in Central California. I love museums. I'm a museum guy. I love history. I used to take our kids, every time we had a vacation, I used to take them to museums all the time. I did not find out until they all became adults. They absolutely hated it. So none of my children will talk to me anymore. But they said, yeah, I thought they were having a good time because I loved it. You know, hey, let's go to this museum and let's go to this museum. Our kids are going. Everybody else takes their kids to Legoland and Disneyland and Magic Mountain. And our dad takes us to World War II Museum. Amen. But my wife and I, we were up in, I think, Fresno, And so we had a little bit of free time. I took my wife to a museum. She doesn't talk to me either. But anyway, I took her to a veterans VFW museum or something. You know, I'm a veteran. I spent time in the military, so I sort of like that stuff. And we went into, as soon as we walked in, there were two elderly men. Actually, they'd probably be young men today. But anyway, they were elderly men, and they're probably in their 70s. And they had their little VFW hat on, and they were just sitting there, and they were just talking. They were reliving the past. They were talking about the past. And I remember as I walked by, I told my wife, as we walked by, I said, you know, that reminds me of a lot of Baptists. They're living in the past. We want to thank God for the past, but we don't want to live in the past. What we want to do is we want to realize that God has greater horizons. He's got more for us in the future. Somebody say amen. So number one, thank God for your past. Number two, don't dwell on your past. Don't live in your past. Just continue to build on the foundation that was laid. Number three, real quickly, be a church family that's committed to Christ, to the great commandment and the great commission. And by the way, that's what Pastor Joe was all about. The great commandment, loving God. I mean, we had that as our theme a couple times, loving God with all of our heart, loving others. The great commission. You're entering, by the way, it's a little bit unique. Usually when you're voting in a new pastor, he's brand new. You know, he preached for you twice today and you vote in. This is a little bit different. Pacific always has done things different, okay? So that you're actually voting in a guy who's actually been your pastor for 4.5 years, okay? But here's the thing. What you want to do is you want to continue to be a church family that's committed to the great commandment, loving God with all of your heart. With all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength. May your passion be for Christ and the cause of Christ, the Great Commission. Number four, rally around Christ, yes, but also rally around your new pastor. A couple things. Number one, pray for him. Look at a pastor of a church. More than any, he needs a lot of things. A pastor of a church needs a lot of things. But more than anything else, he needs your prayers. A pastor of a church this size, with a school, with a college, with a building program, a building going up, and just, you know, missions teams and everything. I mean, this is no small thing. It's a big thing. Pastor Myers, he needs your prayers. Just like Pastor Joe needed your prayers. And I would encourage you to pray for Pastor Myers. Pray for Miss Oma every day. Every day. Ask for God to bless them. Ask for a hedge of protection around their home, their heart. Bless their marriage. Bless their family. They need your prayers. They need your prayers. So number one, pray for him. Pray for his wife. Pray for his family. Number two, work alongside of him. And again, you've been doing this. For most of you going, we've been doing this for 4.5 years. I understand. Keep doing it, okay? Work alongside of him. Help him to get this building done. Help him with the school and the church and the Sunday school. The men who are in places of leadership, pastors, they bear a very heavy burden. They bear a burden for whatever ministry God has entrusted in their care. And whether Pastor Myers wanted it or not, I probably should tell you this. When we were in that meeting the day after Pastor Joe was hospitalized, one of the things that came up is, okay, so what are we going to do as far as pastoring the church? I told him, one thing is that there's a chance that Pastor Joe may not come back. I said, now you don't have to do this immediately, but sometime in the near future, you probably have to have a short list of men that you're going to consider to pastor the church. And Pastor Myers looked at me, and he said, do you want it? I said, no, I don't want it. And here's what he said. I don't want it either. I said, I'll see you later. I'm going to Asia. Amen. So whether he wanted it or not, he got it. Amen. So he needs your prayers. He needs your encouragement. He needs you to pray that God will continue to give him wisdom, give him strength. By the way, pray for his health. You know, he's been having some health issues. Now, by the way, just to let you know, I think this is correct. He was not going to be here anyway for this. But wait, this is a little uncomfortable for him, right? I mean, him and Pastor Joe, longtime buddies. Pastor Joe and I have known Brother Myers, Pastor Myers. We knew him since I was taller than him. I've known Pastor Myers since I was like a foot taller than him, okay? You say, man, that was a long time ago. I've known Pastor Myers. I think he was in like third grade or fourth grade. I was taller than him. I was 25, but anyway. But here's the thing. This is an uncomfortable thing. I'm sure it's an uncomfortable thing for him. He needs your prayers. He needs you to work alongside of him. Number three. Never compare him to others. You can't do that. And especially to Pastor Joe. It's just not fair. You can't do that. Look, we're all different. Pastor Joe is different than Pastor Myers. I didn't say one was better than the other. I just said they're different. It's just different. I tell people, you know, I'm on the mission field, and of course, I've lived in Laos, I've lived in Cambodia, I've lived in China, and I spent a lot of time in Thailand. We'll be there in a couple weeks. Every culture is different, and I tell missionaries, it's not a right or wrong thing. It's just different. And so what you don't want to do is you don't want to compare Pastor Myers to somebody who's not pastoring this church. It's not fair. Somebody say amen. Amen. Just like, by the way, parents, we don't want to compare our children with one another. By the way, husbands, if you want to stay married, you don't want to compare your wife to another woman. Somebody say amen. That is a sure way to find yourself in a hotel tonight. Amen. Yeah, you can't do that. You cannot compare. There are areas where Pastor Joe may be a little bit different and a little bit of a different emphasis. Pastor Myers is going to be different. There's going to be areas that Pastor Myers is going to be different, has a little bit different emphasis. It's not a right or wrong thing. It's just different. It would be unfair for you to compare him with anyone, including Pastor Joe. By the way, you wouldn't want him comparing you with another church member. Somebody say amen. You wouldn't want to hear that Pastor Myers was, you know, gossiping with Brother Ross, because we know he does all the gossip in the church, amen? And saying, well, you know, Ron and Paula Chow, I mean, yeah, they're okay, but, I mean, they're not like, you know, that's not going to fly. Somebody say amen. You hear that? You can't compare. You can't compare. I believe if Pastor Joe could be here this evening, I believe he'd be the first to cast a yes vote on a new pastor, and specifically Pastor Myers. Now, he can't be here this evening. He was here this morning. This church family, I'm telling you, because I travel, and Brother Ross knows this is true, most pastors have just thought, you haven't voted in a new pastor yet? It's been how many years? And I commend you for that. You've done that, I know, because I've been in a lot of the meetings. You've done that for the family's sake, for the sake of the family. And the emotional tie, I commend you for that. But tonight, you're taking another step forward. And I am convinced that if Pastor Joe could be wheeled up here and get up here and give a 30-second, a one-minute infomercial, he would say, folks, it's time to do it. It's time to do it. David's mighty men gathered together in a cave known as Adullam's Cave. It was a place of refuge. This morning we talked about gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you get ready in a few moments to vote, I would encourage you as a church family to gather around the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be the preeminent one, not just the prominent one, but the preeminent one in this church. But on the flip side, I also encourage you to gather around the man that God has led to pastor you for the last 4.5 years, to love you, to pray for you, to counsel with you, to take on a burden that was just a really big burden. And he's made a lot of sacrifices. I know of some of them. Most of you don't know the sacrifices he's made. But he's done it because he loves Jesus. He loves Pastor Joe. And he loves his church family. So I'm telling you, if Pastor Joe were here, I'm convinced he would cast the first vote for Pastor Myers and say yes. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would cast a second vote. Let's stand and let's pray.